gorgeous, and welcome to the E-commerce Uncomplicated podcast, the place to be if you want to see your online brand absolutely thrive. I'm Lisa Jones, e-com expert, multi-million dollar brand founder, and mum. I now spend my days helping women all around the world to grow their brands. The E-commerce Uncomplicated podcast breaks down all the aspects of running a successful business into simple, actionable steps delivered in easy-to-follow, bite-sized chunks. If you're thinking of starting your own product brand or you already have a brand that's growing, then you are in the right place, my love. Let's get started. This is E-commerce Uncomplicated. My darling, and welcome back to another week and another episode of E-commerce Uncomplicated. I am so pumped you're here today with me on this podcast because today I have some really important stuff to talk about. Today I'm going to cover off on a bunch of strategies that I use and have used inside my brands when sales slow down. Because the thing is, when you're in e-commerce, this is actually just a normal part of life. There will always be highs and there will always be lows, and it's what we do when things get tough that make all the difference. So buckle in, I'm going to jump into my top five strategies of things you can do when sales slow down. But before we do that, I wanted to just introduce myself again in case it's been a while since we met, or perhaps you're new to me altogether. And I wanted to share a little bit about my journey. So in case we haven't met before, I've had 7 companies in the last 14 years, and 3 of them have been multi-million dollar brands. And I guess I should also point out that one of them failed before it even really kicked off, but after I'd put $50,000 into something I really didn't know a lot about. So absolutely, I think all entrepreneurs have to have success stories and stories of failure in order to be able to deserve the right to share with you their expertise. So for me, the thing that I'm proudest of, the brand that I think has been the biggest legacy that I've been able to leave in this life so far, was an eco nappy brand that I created. Diapers, if you're in the US. Basically, I set out to recreate an everyday baby nappy or diaper into an eco version. And yes, it had been done before, but it had never been really done before, where we'd actually made it both super high absorbency. And so in other words, no eco wash, it didn't lose any of its benefit by being eco, and also affordable and also truly eco, because sometimes in the eco space, we end up with products that are really expensive or that aren't really eco. And I wanted to have all three of those things, my little personal trifecta. And I did 2.5 years of R&D to bring that brand out. I learned a truckload of stuff about manufacturing in that time. When I sold my nappy brand to my investor, I did a seed and series A round funding for that brand. And when I sold it at $2 million a year, I had 10 staff working from their homes around Australia. I myself was only working about 15 hours a week. I'd managed to automate large parts of the processes and systems in my brand. And I was able to work from anywhere in the world on a laptop. And well, that's pretty exciting, really, because that gives us a whole bunch of lifestyle. So I've done everything from work to multi-million dollar brands and 80 hours a week with 3 little kids, right through to having quite an automated, outsourced and effective business where my team ran most of it, and everything in between, really, if I'm honest. And on my journey, I've been really lucky to have won a bunch of awards here in Australia. But most importantly, and the thing that I think is something that I can share with you that I'm really excited about, I've had some really good mentors in my time. And 4 of them in particular are all $50 to $100 million brands that are the owners or the founders of those brands have been kind enough to work with me in my nappy brand to help me solve a particular problem that I've faced. And this has been a revolutionary thing for me. For example, you know, we have a wine brand here in Australia called Vino Mofo. They do quite a lot of wine, like $30 or $40 million a year from last count of wine home delivered. Now, if you know anything about a box of wine, it's heavy and fragile, but largely it's low price point and margin most of the time. I'm sure there's some exceptions to that. But so is a box of nappies. It's low margin, it's a fairly low purchase, but it's bulky and heavy. And so for us, looking at how to solve a problem in our brand, I was able to go to some really world level experts and ask them in their brands how they solved it. And so I feel really fortunate to be able to share with you today some of the things that I've been able to implement inside my brands that have helped me with both problem solvings, pain points, highs and lows and cycles in brands, and worked on ways to season-proof and recession-proof my businesses. And I'm pretty excited to share with you a bunch of stuff today, but I wanted to just set a bit of a scene there for you first, because right now you might be feeling a little bit exhausted, maybe a little bit overwhelmed. Every day feels a little bit like you're running on a mouse wheel. I call it the entrepreneurial groundhog day. And absolutely dead set certain, if you have an e-commerce brand, you definitely have many days where you feel like this entrepreneurial groundhog day. You wake up and you think, oh, here I go again. Same mouse wheel, different day. And I want you to know, firstly, if you feel that way, that you're not alone. Secondly, if you're feeling anxious or stressed about cash flow or money, that's actually also part of having an e-com brand. I promise you that even when you get into the millions of dollars of revenue, you don't make cash flow and anxiety about money go away. It just is a different version, a different number that you are panicking about. And that's not to say that it's always panic stations. There's plenty of times I've been in business where there've been loads of money in the bank and it feels really good. But I want you to know that if you're experiencing this, you are not alone. There are heaps of other women in the same space as you who feel stressed when sales slow down and they think about giving it all up. And I'm here to say, please don't do that. Please pull a community around you, get some mentorship, join a coaching program like both of my beautiful coaching programs, the Academy or Scale Mastermind, that can help you. And so here's a random fact if you didn't know this about me or haven't read this anywhere in some of the stuff I talk about. As of today, I have spent close to $250,000 on personal and professional development in the last 14 years. A lot of that is business coaching programs around the world. The one I'm in at the moment costs me $30,000 a year. And I believe it's really important that we have a road to follow where we walk in the footsteps of people who have already walked on this road in front of us. Because otherwise, you only know what you know, right? And so I am the first person to put my hand up and say, I don't know everything. Because how can anyone know everything? This world is so complex and so fast moving that you can't possibly know everything. So what we need to do when things feel stressful, when sales slow down, is that we need to find our community and our mentors and coaches to help us to see things that we cannot see in our own business. So I am going to dive in now, my loves, and share five things that you can do when your sales slow down. And the very first thing I'm going to share could be a little controversial, but it's also really important. And that is to go with it. Slow down, rest, recuperate, reinvigorate, reconnect with your family. You see, the thing is, when we're working really, really hard to get sales, we actually tend to neglect ourselves and our families. When I say when we're working really hard, that could be when sales are good, and it could also be when sales are bad. Both times we run around like mice on wheels, and that's exhausting. So sometimes we have to accept and find the silver linings in the things we're dealt with. So if your sales slow at any time, the very first thing I want you to do before you go into panic and overwhelm about how to pay your suppliers' bills next week is to actually slow down and rest. This is a time in which you should reconnect with your family, you know, find really beautiful, heart-filling activities that you can do with your kids or your loved ones, or go for nice walks in nature, take your dog for a walk, lie in the sunshine, have a weekend off, have a couple of days off, have a little mini break. This is the time in which we need to deeply rest and go with cycles. So I guess really this first point is very much about how we embrace the fact that sometimes things slow down. And instead of worrying about the money, we actually accept that it's a silver lining and we go with it. So if this is you, I want you to think about what you could do. I've just had 4 days. Actually, I've had 2 by 4 day long weekends in the last month because sales are slow here at the moment. And if they're slow in my e-com brand and they're slow in my coaching brand, and that's okay, because that's meant that in this month of April, I have deeply rested and recuperated with my family. And that feels amazing. I have filled up my cup. I've had some really beautiful downtime, some longer sleeps, some, you know, bushwalks in nature, lots of fun meals, lots of giggling and tickling and cuddling my 11-year-old daughter, and I feel rested and recuperated. Okay, on to strategy number 2 of something you can do when sales slow down. is to continue to show up on socials and on emails. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in all of my 14 years in business for both myself and the 300 or 400 clients that I coach now is that when we get scared or fearful, we contract. We like pull ourselves in tight, and that is the opposite to what we need to be doing right now. When we contract and we're in fear, we don't show up. We forget to post stories. We forget to feel creative and make reels. We forget or don't want to come up with some kind of promotion or some kind of opportunity to go out to our audience and nurture them. Instead, we contract and we don't do anything. And that's the opposite of what I want for you right now. What I want for you to do while you're resting and recuperating is to try and feel limber and free, to try and continue to show up on socials, to do behind the scenes where you show your audience the fact that you are actually practicing what you might preach with your products, potentially where you're hanging with your family, where you're resting and where you don't look stressed. Because, well, just as an FYI, please don't tell your audience if sales slow down. Don't ask them to buy from you and support you, because largely speaking, they won't like that. Desperation stinks and people run away, and it might not be fair. In fact, it probably sucks, but it is definitely not a great way of doing things. So what you want to do is look like everything is as normal and continue to show up. That means doing beautiful nurturing emails to your audience, you know, your behind the scenes videos and reels where you're showing orders going out, where you're doing, you know, try a TikTok with your kids, try and do some new stuff. Continue to show up. Now, on to strategy number 3 today, my loves, which is all about analyzing your numbers. You see, if you put your Sherlock Holmes hat on for a minute, or perhaps your little eyeglass, what you would notice in your brand is a bunch of information, a bunch of data and statistics that tell you everything about what's working and what's not working inside your brand. But what I've observed in all my time in business, and look, men and women both do it, but in particular, women have a really bad habit of ignoring their numbers. And that's not what I want for you to do. So when things slow down a bit, it's the perfect opportunity for you to get a little bit Sherlock Holmesy with your numbers to try and tell you what they mean. And in this space, we're looking for opportunities. We're looking for places where we can see what's happening with your numbers, where you can look for opportunities to grow, places that your website or your sales, your products, your margins might be letting you down. This is a really important thing to do. Now, I would love to tell you all of the numbers that you should be looking for here, but well, I would need to be on this podcast for about the next 3 hours. So what you could consider doing is coming to join me in one of my coaching programs, because we have quite extensive calculators, training videos, cheat sheets and resources, and live calls every week where we can help you to look at your numbers so that we can find the opportunities and the risks in your numbers. But here's 4 today that I want you to consider looking for. The first one is to try and get your website conversion rate above 3%. If it's 0.5% or 1%, well, your website needs a lot of work. Now, another one to look at is your returning customer rate. That's the number of people each month that come back to buy from you a second or third or fifth or 10th time. And we really want your returning customer rate to be above 50% of your sales. So if your returning customer rate is 10% or 20%, well, you've got opportunities here to try and encourage all of your previous clients to come back and buy from you again. Another one to look at is your average order value. Ideally, we want to bump that above $100 for every order. And of course, that depends on what category you're in and what products you sell. For some people, getting above $60 is difficult. For some ladies, you know, your average order value might be $300 if you sell furniture as well. So it depends what you sell, but ideally, we want you to increase your average order value. And then the last thing is, we wanted you to have a look at your pages per session. This is something you'll need to go to Google Analytics to look for. But what it does is it tells us how many pages on your website the average viewer is looking at. And if you have only 1 or 2 pages per session as your average, well, Houston, you've got a problem. It means that you're not encouraging them to go through your website and to look for products, your about, your shipping, your frequently answered questions. Ideally, we want it above 3 and ideally about 5 pages per session. That tells us that your website is engaging and people are going looking for them. So what I want you to do is to know your numbers and work on every month improving them. Now, over to strategy number four today, my loves. We're getting there. Hang in here with me. I hope you've got lots of gold already from today's episode. But this is a really important one, and it's not to put all your eggs in one basket. Now, I say this with love and kindness, but so many women get this wrong. I meet so many e-commerce brands and I say, awesome, where is your cold traffic coming from to your website? And they're like, well, Facebook ads. I'm like, awesome, what else? They're like, well, like Facebook ads. That is putting all of your eggs in one basket, and that is a really dangerous way to grow a brand. So I want you to consider how you can have 12 baskets with one egg in each basket. That might look like Pinterest advertising, Bing advertising, Google shopping, and Facebook ads. It might look like collaborations with other brands, brand reps and influencers, social media, really good nurture series inside your emails, and perhaps a sign up on your website. Like, now we're talking more like 8, 10, 12 baskets with one egg in each basket. And it's so important that you do this. So think about what other channels you could be trying to find new customers in, and spread your budget between all of them, mitigate your risk, and get really clever with both a mixture of organic, i.e. free, and paid advertising. So that's strategy number four. Now, strategy number five is to work on your website when things are quiet. This is absolutely, again, an entire podcast or a whole month of podcasts on its own. But in my coaching programs, we focus really heavily on what we call CRO and UX, which, if you're new to e-commerce, is the conversion rate optimization and the user experience on your website. So basically, in layman's terms, that means, does someone like your website when they land on there? Does it feel good to them? And do they continue to scroll until they click through to buy something? In other words, is it a highly converting website, or are you bouncing lots of people where they're just like, oh, I didn't even know what this is. It looks dodgy. I'm gone. And in a lot of cases, that's what happens. So this quiet time is a unique opportunity for you to come into one of my programs, for example, and let us help you with a million ways that you could be increasing the conversion rate on your website, so that when you do get those precious hits on your site, that more of them are converting into sales, that they're becoming advocates where they fall in love with your brand, which is definitely a thing. I'm not sounding kooky right now, I promise you. One of your goals is definitely to get them to fall in love with you a little, with you and with your brand and with your products. And we have an opportunity to wow our audience with an experience from the time they hit our website to the time they get their order from you in their hot little hands. Every interaction you have with that customer is an opportunity to wow them. And I really, really, really fervently believe that about 80 to 90% of women e-commerce brands get their websites wrong. It doesn't convert. It's not engaging. It doesn't professionally represent you. You're not selling to the problems that that customer faces. Instead, you're just throwing your features and benefits in their face like slap, slap, like a wet fish, and they are getting left cold. There is a million ways that women get e-commerce websites wrong. And I want you, during this quieter time, well, first of all, I want you to sign up into my program, obviously, but definitely come over to my website, check out some of the freebies and blogs I have on there about ways that you can improve your CRO and UX. So make sure you come check me out. It's lisajones.co. I've got a bunch of freebies on my site, as well as the links to apply for any of my coaching programs. Now, this kind of brings me on to a little bit of a sixth point. I'm not going to call it a strategy, but it is absolutely super relevant in this time when your sales are lower, and that is to find your community. Don't be alone. I mean, ever, generally, don't be alone. I mean, have alone time. Don't get me wrong. The Dalai Lama once said every human should spend 30 minutes completely on their own every day. And as a mom who's raised five stepchildren, has an 11-year-old daughter, and has run multiple companies at once with a bunch of staff, I fucking completely agree with that. It is really important for you to have some downtime on your own. But what I'm talking about right now is to connect with other women. Don't be alone. Find your community, whether that's in a free community such as my Uncomplicated E-commerce for Women, which is my Facebook group. There's about 3,500 amazing women in there. Come in and introduce yourself and tell them what your pain point is, and let all of us help, support, and gather around you. Or come into one of my paid programs where you'll have the most dedicated community, both of other coaches and other women who have got you and whom you can be real, relatable, vulnerable. You can listen to what each other's going through, and you can share and feel connected. And that is so important right now. So I am hoping, my loves, that today I've been able to give you immense value on some things that you can do when times feel a little tough to make you feel a little more positive, a little bit clearer and more strategic, and perhaps just a little bit more connected to me and my strategies. And I hope I see you in one of my free groups or programs soon, because I would love to find out more about you and what you do. So for today, lots of love, hug and squeezes. I hope you have an awesome day.